When I found out I was going to be a parent, I immediately felt a lot of anxiety and worry. So I went on to BetterHelp to try to look for a therapist to help me with that.
My relationship with my family and with my boyfriend and with myself were suffering. I really needed help.
I was ruminating a lot. Really getting those thoughts out to a therapist and getting feedback was just life-changing.
If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, visit BetterHelp.com/stuff today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/stuff. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, everybody. It's me, Josh. And for this week's SYSK Selects, I've chosen How Coral Reefs Work from 2012. I think March of 2012. And it's a good one. It's got a lot of science. There's a lot of interesting marine biology to learn. And plus, it's just good to get to know this a very rare form of life that we are very rapidly erasing from the global biosphere. So I hope you enjoy this very eye-opening episode on coral reefs.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. With me, as always, is Charles W. Chuck Bryant, and that makes this Stuff You Should Know. So.
I just noticed your cold has cleared up.
Yeah, a little bit. I still have an interior lining, a very thick.
All right, that's good.
Phlegm. Other than that, I'm fine.
Yeah, you sound fine though. That's all I care about.
You know what it was? Tons of emergency.
Yeah.
Used to wash down tons of vitamin B stress, which is like tons of just different vitamin Bs. I eat Solar Ray, and
scotch.
Right.
Single malt scotch.
That's my secret ingredient. And lots of lysine. A couple of lysines every time. Like thousands and thousands of percentages of daily value. Like just it just makes the FDA cringe that I take this much.
That's what I do. I just load up on like everything.
Just blast it.
Triple it.
Yep. There you go.
Take that, body.
So I'm fine.
Good.
Now Yumi has it.
Oh, does she? Oh, poor thing.
Same exact thing. And she doesn't like when I tell her to take vitamins.
Yeah, but that, you know, you live together, you eat, drink after one another, you suck face.
I'll leave like emergency here or there, like laying around. Right. Oh, did I leave that there?
Oops, that's already dissolved in the water even.
And it's going down your gullet. Chuck.
Yes.
Did you know that I am a certified scuba diver?
I sure did.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Mm-hmm.
I thought for sure you were going to be like, no, I didn't.
No, we've talked about this.
Yeah, and we've even scuba dived together, haven't we?
Yeah, that's right. That was the first time I heard about it.
I'm not the sharpest tack in the package.
That's all right.
But I say that to tell you that I was certified at a place called Isla Mujeres off the coast of Cozumel, which just so happens to also be the home of the second largest barrier reef.
Oh, really?
Known to man.
What's it called?
Known to humans. I don't know.
It's not called anything because there's the Great Barrier Reef and then there's all the other reefs.
All the other ones.
Yeah.
But this is the second largest, which is pretty big because there's a lot of barrier reefs. There's a lot of coral reefs in the world. But after reading this article,
mm-hmm.
I found that there is a lot about coral reefs that I didn't know.
Fortunately, I didn't know
we had Jennifer Horton,
mm-hmm.
who I'm sure you'll remember. Worked at the site for a while.
Yeah, she's a great writer.
Great writer. We had her to explain it to us, and I get coral reefs now.
In fact, Jennifer has written many of the animal-related podcasts that we've done.
Octopi?
Uh-huh.
Bison, I think, maybe? Did she write that one? Probably.
She wrote a lot of the animal stuff.
Animal Migration?
Yeah.
Lots of good ones.
We miss you, Jennifer. Hope you're well. If you listen.
She's wonder.
Who are they?
Right.
I don't remember those guys.
I hated those two.
All right, coral reefs. This was all new to me. The rainforest of the sea.
Of the equatorial seas.
Home to about 25% of all fish species.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
In fact, right, the Great Barrier Reef
Yeah.
has more kinds of coral on like one just single little outcropping of it than you'll find in the entire tropical area of the Atlantic Ocean.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I don't know why I just said that there.
The Aussies are gonna be so stoked with this podcast.
Probably.
Anytime they can lay claim to something like that, they're just like, yeah.
Yeah.
Drink.
Exactly. They're going to go pour beer on the Great Barrier Reef. It's the coral reefs are very beneficial to humans in a number of ways.
Yeah.
Economically.
Sure, because there's a lot of sea life and thus people fishing for shrimp and lobster and things like that.
Right, in all sorts of weird ways, which we'll get to later.
Yeah.
They also protect the beach from erosion. They act as natural buffers from huge waves, wave action.
That's right. These little storms. Tiny guys.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that because when you think of coral, you think of huge, you know, Great Barrier Reef. It's enormous.
Yeah,
it's like I think there's 18,000 miles
total
of coral face.
Wow.
Face.
That is crazy.
On the Great Barrier Reef. But actually, an individual coral called a polyp is about 3 millimeters long.
Yeah.
That's small.
Super tiny.
For those of you in America.
Well, science got it wrong early on. We should go ahead and say that they, at one point, fairly understandably,
yeah,
thought that it might be plant life.
Right.
Because it sort of looks like it.
Yeah, like, you know, like the a coral fan.
Yeah.
That's a bunch of those little 3 millimeter corals building up into a fan.
Yeah, and it looks
like
looks a plant.
That looks like a plant, yeah.
So they got it wrong. And they're actually, not only are they real living little sea creatures, but they're carnivores.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, you would never think about that.
No, but they're in the phylum Cnidaria?
Cnidaria.
Why would they put the C there?
It's silent, man.
You know,
I appreciate a silent letter.
I am smarter than my pronunciations would suggest.
I started looking this up because I feel like an idiot a lot of times.
So they're in the phylum Cnidaria, which means that they have stinging cells, barbed stinging cells called nematocysts.
That's right.
So they use this to capture their prey, but the prey kind of has to come to them because they're also sessile, which means they're fixed to a certain spot.
Yeah, sessile.
Seriously?
Yeah. So it is understandable also that they got it wrong because coral has a unique property. It is almost half plant because there's this algae in the cells.
I want to pronounce it.
Okay, go ahead.
It's called zooxanthellae.
You're right. Very nice. Starts with a Z and there's an X in there somewhere.
Yeah, and then it ends in AE.
So what happens with, there's a very mutually beneficial relationship between the algae and the polyp. They do a little exchange.
Mm-hmm.
The polyp itself will supply, oh, I'm sorry, the algae will undertake photosynthesis.
Yes, as algae tends to do.
As algae will do. And it will say, hey, Mr. Polyp, why don't you take all this stuff that I've made within your cell walls and convert it to proteins and fats?
It poops out like amino acids
and carbs
for the polyp.
And in return, why don't you give me a nice shelter, and you can also produce some carbon and nitrates and phosphates that I need to produce the photosynthesis to give you the proteins and fats that you need.
So it's what you might call a symbiotic relationship.
Exactly.
One's helping the other. And you can make the case that the coral is getting the better end of the deal because the coral gets about 90% of the energy produced through photosynthesis by the zooxanthellae, right?
Yeah.
But that also makes the coral more dependent on the zooxanthellae.
True. And the zooxanthellae, it's an algae of very little needs. It's not needy. It's not grabby. It's not going to call you up every Friday night wondering what you're doing and why you aren't here.
Are you talking about me?
No. Jerry liked that one.
So the symbiotic relationship between the zooxanthellae and the coral polyps also produce coral reefs. The polyps use some of that energy, some of that amino acid, to create something called calcium carbonate.
And that's the hard stuff, right?
That's limestone, my friend.
Boom.
Yeah, they produce limestone out of their buttocks to create a cup, a little shelter for the polyp to stay in. And since the algae stays in the polyp, it creates a shelter for both, right?
Yeah.
And this limestone secretion can keep building and building and building because, again, coral stays in the same place. They're sessile.
That's right.
And as long as they're still secreting limestone, the limestone structure they build will just keep getting bigger and bigger eventually.
Love it.
That's just one 3-millimeter long coral.
Yes.
What you want to do is get thousands together.
Strengthen numbers.
Yeah. Then you have a coral fan.
Yeah, or a colony.
Yes.
And then those colonies will eventually meet up with other colonies and say, hey, you guys interested in forming a reef? Because we're pretty indestructible, although that's not quite true. We're more indestructible if we all hook up, my brothers.
Like you said, strength in numbers.
Yes.
And when they hook up, their limestone secretions can start to join together, forming a reef.
Yeah.
But they're also connected by a thin piece of tissue.
You got this one?
Called a?
Cenosarc.
That's what I was going to go for. I was just tired of humiliating myself for this episode.
I would have called it a conosarc, so I was way off. I'm really glad I looked
it's
that one up.
It's a coelacanth.
Yeah, it's a cenosarc.
And that's how the coral themselves are, through limestone secretions and through this tissue called the cenosarc, they're connected.
Right. But how would they grow?
Well, there's two ways, man.
Okay.
They can reproduce.
Yeah. A couple of ways, though, right?
Sexually. Or asexually?
I know which one I'd choose.
Which one?
Asexual.
Yeah.
Because you're cloning. That's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
Anyone can just get together and, you know, mate.
Right. Sexually, it's like, here's some sperm. And another one's like, here's some eggs. And then they get together and then it's just, there's not much to it.
Right. Asexually, though, they actually do divide and produce identical clones of themselves. And, that's one way they can grow, and the other way is just to keep pooping out limestone.
Yep.
And that will connect with each other, and it just forms a big old yummy reef.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Hey, everybody, if you're building a deck at work and you want to supercharge it, check out Canva presentations. Work docs have been the same for too long, but Canva docs are different. They're visual. They grab readers' attention with images, charts, tables, and videos playable right in the doc. Plus, docs don't have to be just words on a page. You can make your docs pop with Canva docs.
That's right. And Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, HR, ops, marketing, and more, Canva presentations can be the solution for you. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it.
Canva presentations might be the most visually impressive presentations you'll ever use. Start with a stunning template, use it as a springboard for your design, adding images, graphics, charts, data visualizations, all from a massive media library. It's super easy to wow any audience with Canva presentations.
So start designing today at canva.com, designed for work. That's canva.com.
This is not a fast process, though. Like, if there's a couple of coral that are a few inches away, say 3 inches away.
Yeah.
And they're like, I would like to hook my cenosarc up to your cenosarc, and let's poop some limestone out together and get this reef going.
That's beautiful.
It's going to take them about a year to get together.
Can you imagine how frustrating that is? To be 3 inches away and be like, I'd really like to consummate this.
Right.
I'll see you next June.
I'm not convinced that coral can experience frustration.
You don't think so?
I don't.
I think that's all they experience.
Nothing but frustration. Either that or they're like really, really patient. But that 3 inches of growth a year has to take place under very specific conditions. Remember we said that coral reefs are in equatorial waters.
Yeah.
Not the coral themselves, but the zooxanthellae are actually very fickle and picky little organisms. And they like specific conditions. And as long as the conditions are right for them, then the coral can grow. Because
right.
remember, the coral are dependent on the zooxanthellae
That's right.
to produce the calcium carbonate.
That's right.
So what are the conditions, Chuckers?
Well, you said equatorial, specifically 30 degrees north or south. If you have ever dived in the Bahamas and said, no, that's 32 degrees north,
right.
and they have plenty there, it's because the warm Gulf waters spitting out toward the Bahamas, which is one reason the Bahamas is such a popular spot, I would imagine.
Yes.
I've never been there. You?
No. My folks drove my car back from the Bahamas, though, once.
You had a car in the Bahamas?
You're supposed to say, you're kidding.
You're kidding.
I must be. The Bahamas are islands.
Ugh.
It's a Dead Milkmen song. It's Bitchin' Camaro.
Oh, that's from Bitchin' Camaro?
Yeah, it's the beginning.
Jeez, I'm a dummy.
That's all right, Chuck.
I'm not hip.
I'm not hip either, Chuck.
Sunlight is another thing that they need because, and it makes sense, if you're going to undertake photosynthesis, you need sun. So if the water is rich in nutrients, mm-hmm. believe it or not, that's not great for them.
No, because if you've ever looked through, if you've ever been underwater and seen like a lot of plankton everywhere, it filters the sunlight. It's dappled.
That's right. And also, as we learn later, the more nutrients there are, the more it will attract competition for those nutrients, and that's yeah. not good for them either.
No, they don't like competition. Basically, they're just little prima donnas, the zooxanthellae are.
The water, since you're near the equator, should be between 73.4 and 84.2 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yep. And ultimately, if you put all these factors together, ample light, clear water, and between 73 and 82, or 23 Celsius and 29 Celsius,
yeah,
you can get up to about 10 centimeters or 3.9 inches of growth in a year.
Twice as much on sunny days.
Yes.
Which is remarkable.
But they're still not going to exceed that 3.9 inches, most likely.
No, because it's not going to be sunny all the time.
But what's cool then is if you think, well, that's crazy. You know, there's some coral that I've seen coral reefs and they're big, and if it takes a year to grow about 3.9 inches,
yeah,
say horizontally or vertically, or maybe even diagonally, if it was like a crazy year for them,
sure,
it must take thousands of years for a coral reef to build up. You would be right, my friend, which is why scientists very affectionately consider coral reefs the old growth forests of the sea.
Yeah.
Because when you're looking at a coral reef, you're looking at something thousands, if not tens of thousands of years old.
Which is
my
why,
question
yeah.
is, how long does the coral live? So one thing I didn't get out of this article, did you?
Oh, how each individual coral?
Yeah.
Each polyp?
Right.
Boy, I don't know.
And are their cups, the protective cups uh-huh. that they secrete, are they inhabited by like successive generations? They're clones maybe?
My guess, and I'm guessing here, is that there are so many hundreds of thousands and millions of these packed mm-hmm. so tightly together that if one of the little guys dies, it ain't no big thing because he's surrounded by his living brothers and sisters.
Gotcha.
But I don't know how long each one lives, though. That's a good question.
Yeah.
Someone will know.
Yeah.
Coral sand, if you look at the reef and you think, hey, coral is obviously the skeleton here of this great reef, it's not just the coral. Coral sand, from what I understand, is little remnants, tiny pieces of coral that are either eaten and pooped out or just chipped away because of erosion and waves crashing and bad weather and stuff like that.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah. And but the cool thing is it doesn't necessarily go anywhere. It can fill in gaps or holes. And then, as luck would have it, there is a type of algae called coralline algae
yeah.
that goes and covers it up, and the structure of the algae acts as like an adhesive that glues the coral sand. So basically, it's like this self-sustaining repair process that's always going on.
That's
the
awesome.
Waves erode the coral into coral sand. Certain types of fish chew the coral into coral sand. The sand goes in, just drifts into like little pockets where it gets caught, and the algae lays over it. Bam. Strong coral.
Well, and coral sand is mined, which is one of the threats to reefs because they use it for bricks and cement and road fill.
Yeah.
So if you're mining the coral sand, there's not going to be that natural spackle to fill in the holes, and thus the reef is jeopardized.
Which is just one of many ways that reefs are in jeopardy.
Yeah. We'll
apparently, get to that. One estimate is that 40% of the world's reefs could be gone in the next few decades.
That's scary.
It is.
Very sad.
I hope you're scared.
I am scared. This is where I got a little confused was, well, let's talk about the kinds of reefs because I'm not confused about that.
Okay.
There are basically three categories depending where they form. The fringing reef, it's the most common. It's directly from the shore, mm-hmm. and they form a border projecting out to the sea.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you go to like Marblehead in Ohio, uh-huh. there's a lighthouse.
Yeah.
I think it's limestone. It's like it just comes right off of the land.
Right.
I don't understand how that would be because it's in Lake Erie, which is not freshwater, but who knows? It's very similar to that. It's like just a rocky projection jutting out from the land, but it's a coral reef.
Right.
Or if it were a coral reef, that's a fringing reef.
Interesting.
Reef attached to land.
Barrier reef, very similar to the fringing reef, but has a gap of water between the land and the reef. Is
right.
that correct?
Yeah.
And then my favorite, of course, the atoll.
It's a nice one.
Which is when, at one point, there was an island or volcano, mm-hmm. and it sunk, but you still have the circular reef with, I guess, like a lagoon or something.
Yeah, the reef keeps building, but the right. mountain is now submerged.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. So you got your three types, fringing, barrier, and atoll.
Right. The zones is where I get a little confused.
So all of these reefs are kind of broken down into zones. Like, you remember the biospeleology?
How could I forget?
Okay, so you've got like the different zones.
Of the cave, sure.
This is very similar to that. You've got the back of the reef, and the back is the side closest to shore.
I think that's what confused me, and then I just never looked back.
Yeah, it is a little
there.
Confusing, yeah. but it's from the viewpoint of the sea.
That's right.
So you've got, just imagine like a line and then a bump and then another line, and that's our reef, right?
Okay.
On the shore side of the bump, that's the back of the reef. And this is actually where the most life is.
The flat zone.
Yeah. Sometimes it's left high and dry by low tide, but most times it's just this little shallow area that's got tons of sunlight, so there's tons of plankton,
sure.
which means there's tons of fish. There's a feeding frenzy. There's diurnal temperature changes.
Yeah.
It's just very pretty. It's what most people think of when they think about diving on a coral reef.
Okay.
Right?
Close, safe.
Then that bump, that's the ridge or the crest.
Okay.
Okay? That part, the crest is always exposed at low tide. And it may be exposed even at high tide sometimes, depending on how big. But it's the tallest point. It also serves as the wave break for that function of reefs that protect the land.
Okay, sure.
This is what the waves smack into.
So it's going to be more easily eroded and probably have more of that natural spackle, right?
Yes.
That was it, coralline algae?
Probably.
Is that what it was called?
Coralline, yeah.
Okay.
Or coralline. However you want to say it, Chuck. I'm not going to stress you out.
All right.
And then there's the fore reef. That's the ocean side, the seaside.
Right.
And in that part of the fore reef on the other side of the crest, the seaside of the crest, there's the buttress zone, which is awesome if you ask me.
And that's where you're going to find, if you're shark hunting, that's where you're going to find like sharks and barracuda and interesting things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But does it buttress? Is that why they call it the buttress zone?
So the buttress, consider a buttress is just like a jutting projection of coral limestone, right?
Uh-huh.
Just jutting out. And then in between these projections are little channels, holes that can go all the way through.
Right.
I'm not quite sure what the physics are of it, but basically, once a wave goes through this coral reef uh-huh. and hits shore and then gets drawn back out to sea, these channels funnel these spent waves back out to sea. And by funneling them, it gives them more energy.
Right.
So then they crash into oncoming waves,
ah.
which reduces the oncoming waves' velocity.
So all this is in an attempt, naturally, to combat the erosion of pounding waves.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's also a really excellent shelter for little fishies and things like that that want to go into the channel.
So, Josh, we've talked about the Great Barrier Reef here and there, but we should give it its proper due as the largest living structure on the planet, seen from outer space. Everyone loves to throw that back around.
Yeah.
You can see it from outer space.
And that made me look something up, Chuck. It's the largest living structure?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if a coral reef is an organism, do you know what the second largest living organism is? It's a fungus in Oregon named Amaryllis oeste, 8,600 years old, takes up 4 square miles or 10 square kilometers, single organism.
Where is it?
Oregon.
Oh, Oregon.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's at our friend Van Nostrand's house.
So it's a big mushroom?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Isn't that gross?
That is gross. So the Great Barrier Reef, we're talking 1,429 miles or 2,300 clicks. And it is not a single reef. It's about 3,000. I got 2,900, so I'm not sure if that number had declined since this was written or not.
Yep.
But Jennifer points out, and like you pointed out earlier, the full edge of the reef is about 18,500 miles. So she says, if anyone's ever told you they've dived the entire Great Barrier Reef, they're dirty liars.
Yeah, she said they're lying.
Because there's no way. You couldn't do it in a lifetime, she said.
Yeah. I wonder if somebody told her that and she like inserted it in the article.
I don't know. It's definitely an accusation.
It is. It's a weird sentence. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Hey, everybody, if you're building a deck at work and you want to supercharge it, check out Canva Presentations. Work docs have been the same for too long, but Canva docs are different. They're visual. They grab readers' attention with images, charts, tables, and videos playable right in the doc. Plus, docs don't have to be just words on a page. You can make your docs pop with Canva docs.
That's right. And Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, HR, ops, marketing, and more, Canva presentations can be the solution for you. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it.
Canva presentations might be the most visually impressive presentations you'll ever use. Start with a stunning template, use it as a springboard for your design, adding images, graphics, charts, data visualizations, all from a massive media library. It's super easy to wow any audience with Canva presentations.
So start designing today at canva.com, designed for work. That's canva.com.
It's one of the 7 natural wonders of the world. More than 400 coral species, 2,000 fish species, 4,000 mollusks, and 6 of the 7 sea turtle species. All right there for the oogling.
Nice.
And the ogling.
Nice. Like you said, the Australians are going to be proud of this, and they should be.
Of course.
Back in 1975, apparently, it was in some jeopardy. And the Australians moved to protect it as a national marine park. And that basically ensured its survival.
Sure.
It's still, you know, kind of in rough shape here or there.
Is it?
as I understand. But 6 years after that, so let's see, that's 1981, it became a World Heritage Site. And 1% of the 18,500 square miles, or 18,500 linear miles,
right,
are open to the public, except for that 1%.
So just 1% is dedicated to research only?
Just research.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Not very much.
You have to
guess that's all they need.
Bona fide scientist to dive that part.
The rest of it, Jennifer points out, is divided into national park zones, which is where you can go recreate and learn some things.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it is general use, which means commercial fishing, which I guess there's no better time to get into the threats than right now.
Yes. There are some coral reefs in trouble. The Great Barrier Reef, like I said, it's pretty well protected. But say if you look at some of the reefs in the Philippines, 70% have been destroyed, and 5%, just 5%, are in good condition these days. 10% of the world's reefs are now beyond recovery, not just because of human causes, because of natural causes as well.
Sure.
Because everything exists on a life cycle here on Earth.
Yeah.
We humans just tend to accelerate it. 30% may die in the next 10 to 20 years.
So what are some of the natural threats? Are obviously harsh weather like hurricanes.
Yeah.
El Nino, a weird weather pattern. It's going to increase temperatures, mess with the salinity, a lot more rainfall. So an El Nino season can do some serious damage.
Yeah.
Bleaching, coral bleaching. When they experience as little as like 1 degree rise in temperature, the algae will be ejected basically from the coral.
No, the algae takes off.
Oh, it leaves?
Yeah. It's like, see you in hell, coral.
There's a fine line between ejection and self-leaving. It's a chicken and egg thing.
Maybe.
You think?
Yeah.
So the algae gets the heck out of Dodge, turns the coral white, and if you Google pictures, you can see a lovely coral with like white patches here and there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the parts where it's bleached out.
Yep,
and what they call it.
If this keeps up long enough, the coral dies because, again, coral has a symbiotic relationship where it's dependent on the zooxanthines algae, and if the zooxanthines leaves, then the coral dies.
Very sad.
And like you said, it was just a... as much as a 1 degree temperature increase, right?
Yeah, that's not much.
There's also predators. Like, there's things that eat the coral, the polyps themselves. Crabs,
yeah.
Worms, snails, barnacles, parrotfish.
Yeah, those are really pretty.
Can't do anything about that, pal. That's nature at work.
Yeah.
But there are things we can do, such as not using dynamite when we fish on coral reefs. That's a pretty good start.
Yeah, I would say so.
There's over 40 countries in the world that allow blast fishing. People using explosives that they drop onto the reef to stun the fish so they can just swoop them up with the net and basically guffaw like a slack-jawed yokel wearing nothing but overalls while they just bring their nets in.
That's right.
Because they just threw dynamite in the water to stun fish. Well, the dynamite also has a deleterious impact on the reef structure as well.
You're going to go to the grave with that one, aren't you?
I saw on Facebook you put the apostrophe in y'all after the A again.
I mix it up. You know what's weird is the iPhone corrects it incorrectly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, they don't know y'all. They're from California.
I've always done Y apostrophe A-L-L.
That's correct. You all. Y'all.
No, see, someone pointed out to me on email that it was, in fact, Y-A apostrophe L-L.
No, it's you all.
So I've been doing it right the whole time.
No, you were doing it Y-A apostrophe L-L.
Because someone told me to change it.
No, you can't just listen to any schmo who emails
Our fans
you.
Have a deleterious effect on me.
Deleterious.
Do you want to look it up right now?
Let's talk about blast fishing again.
Okay. Or cyanide fishing, which is the ugly stepsister of blast fishing, which is dumping cyanide onto reefs to kill fish.
Again, you have to wear nothing but overalls. No shirt, no shoes, nothing.
No service. Overfishing, period, is got a negative effect, obviously.
Yeah, because you're basically affecting the food chain. You're like, ooh, we like these guys because they're tasty. And I'm sure they won't be missed. Whenever you take any key species out of an ecosystem, you're in trouble.
No good.
There's also runoff is a big one because remember they like clear light, the algae do.
Yeah.
And or clear water. And when the water's not clear, they shrivel up because they need sunlight for photosynthesis.
Yeah, the pollutants went also. I thought it was going to be pollutants because just pollutants are bad, which they are. But really the reason is pollutants in sewage actually increase the nutrients. So that attracts harmful algae and competition, and that's no good.
Right.
And then we already talked about the mining.
So what can we do, Chuck? We've got a few things we can do. You can adopt a reef.
You can.
Tons of organizations will let you do that.
In fact, if you want to go to adopt.nature.org/coral reef, you can adopt a reef in the Bahamas, Dominican Republic, Palau, and Papua New Guinea.
Nice.
Just like that.
Yep. You can funnel money to an organization that will take care of that reef.
Exactly. And that's just one. I think you can do it through all kinds of places. Didn't you say that?
Yeah. You can get your congressperson to lobby for stricter oversight.
Yeah.
Of fishing methods. You can boycott products from countries that allow blast fishing or cyanide fishing. Really put the squeeze on the common man in the other country. You can, make him go to his congressperson.
You cannot chip off bits of the coral when you scuba dive because it's just so pretty that you want to take it home.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Give it to your daughter.
Yeah.
Not good.
No. There's a lot of stuff you can do that you probably should do if you want to save the coral reefs.
That's right. I got nothing else.
Why would you save them, do you say, if you don't care about snorkeling or anything like that? Well, my friend, if you care about the economy, you will want to save coral reefs because they are valuable. The total value of the asset that is the reef systems in Florida.
Uh-huh. Oh, in Florida alone?
Just Florida, $8.5 billion.
Wow.
When you take into account not just tourism, which is a big part of it, but also the estimated 177,000 jobs that all the industries surrounding it create.
Wow.
That's just Florida. Worldwide, just from tourism and recreation, that reefs bring in, $9.6 billion annually.
So if you like money, then you should support coral reefs.
12 to 15% of Bolivia's GDP is created by reefs.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Yeah. So if you don't have a heart, but money makes you likey, then that should get you going on saving coral reefs as well.
That's right.
So if you want to learn more about coral reefs, including seeing a diagram of where the fore and the back of the reef is, you can type in coral reefs in the search bar at howstuffworks.com. It'll bring up this great article by Jennifer Horton. And since I said Jennifer Horton, it's time now for listener mail.
All right, listener mail.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to call this good cause from a good person. Hello, SYSK team. I wanted to take a minute and thank you for helping me in a really big way. I've been working alone as a volunteer in Malawi, south of Tanzania.
Malawi.
Since September of 2009, and I happily pass the time listening to your show during my super long, super awesome mini bus rides. I am building a library in a small village, and a big part of my library is an audio-video collection that I've been putting together for the past few years. Many of the people in the village are illiterate, so a library full of books just wouldn't do them any good. So I started to think of ways I could include everyone in a learning activity. My answer was to incorporate documentaries and podcasts on a variety of subjects. So basically, we will choose a topic for the week and use the podcasts as a way of getting people interested, then direct them to read articles and books on the topic or watch documentaries and have some group discussions.
Wow.
Pretty cool. I really believe in the beauty of being inquisitive and interested in life, and videos and podcasts really help immerse people in new subjects. This is the first library of its kind in the country. Wow. And I'm really hopeful that it helps to open the world up to people who are so often cut off. Fingers crossed. And that is from Diane Bowles, the founder of The Future Found. And if you want to check out Diane's awesome work she's doing, you can go to thefuturefound.org.
Excellent, Chuck.
Very cool.
It's Diane.
Diane.
In Malawi.
Yeah, building the only library of its kind in the country.
That is so cool. Thank you very much, Diane, for doing that. What do you want to hear? You want to hear of other people making a difference in the world? We always love that.
Yeah.
You're a sap for that kind of thing.
Or some good, harrowing scuba diving stories. One or the other.
Okay, so that's a great one, Chuck.
Either doing good in the world or not doing any good whatsoever.
Right. That could be directed to Chuck and I via Twitter at SYSK Podcast. That's our Twitter handle. On Facebook.com, if you go to Stuff You Should Know's page, that's that. And you can also email us directly. We both get emails sent to the address stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. To learn more about the podcast, click on the podcast icon in the upper right corner of our homepage. The How Stuff Works iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.
The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. But you know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line, thanks to Visible. It's true. So switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
In Puerto Rico, there's adventure around every corner and natural treasures waiting to be explored, like El Yunque, the only tropical rainforest in the U.S. Get swept away by natural beauty and come away with unique stories that could only be experienced in Puerto Rico and that remind you why you travel in the first place. Visits end, but stories last forever. You don't become a part of the island, it becomes a part of you. No passports required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.